Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about, made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your help, dear God. Please, as I preach, be with each one as they listen. And Lord, this is a supernatural work, the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, not because of the man that stands behind the pulpit, because of the supernatural nature of the book, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. And Lord, thank you that the Holy Spirit, in a very supernatural way, will want to communicate with us today, want to teach us and show us things. Lord, thank you for your work in each individual life. Some things he'll just emphasize that is said by the preacher, and some things he'll bring to heart and mind that the preacher never said. Lord, thank you that when we meet, we have the promise that you meet with us. So may we be aware of that presence this morning, listening to your voice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The entire Bible is a book of overcomers. Most Bible heroes were required to overcome obstacles in their life. I'm going to talk a little bit about obstacles in the next few weeks. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that they did not have a clear path to success. For many, it would have been easier, if you studied their lives, than for them to quit than to go on at different times. You know, I call those places quitting places. Everybody's going to have a few in their life. But you know what? These Bible heroes became our heroes because they refused to adopt a victim's mentality, instead pressed on to victory for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God. The life of Joseph is a life of an overcomer. It's a life of betrayals. It's a life of setbacks. It's a life of trials. It's a life of testings. And every single one of us are going to face those same things. So I think Joseph resonates with each and every one of us. And I want to spend the next 3 to 4 Sundays just preaching out of his life. I'm going to take 4 key moments in his life and show you what he faced and how he overcame it. And I think it'll help ready all of us for whatever the Lord asks of us this year. Well, you notice again, verse number 3 through 5 and Genesis chapter number 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They could not speak and could not speak peaceably unto him. I love this. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Let me talk about obstacle number 1 that Joseph had to overcome in his life, and that is this. He had to overcome the fact that he had people in his life that didn't believe in him. And I'm going to focus an entire message on that, because I see that hinders a lot of Christians in their Christian life. And to be honest with you, it's a difficult, hard thing to face. It's a hard thing sometimes to overcome. God gave Joseph two dreams. He was excited about the dreams. By the way, it was God that gave him these dreams. He was excited about the dreams that God gave him. So he told them to his family. Now, he was the youngest brother. Okay, all of you that came from homes that have multiple children, you know, I mean, the last thing you want to hear about at the breakfast table is your youngest brother, the baby's dream, especially if it puts you in a little bit of a bad light. They don't want to hear about that. But he was excited about the dreams God gave him. So here he comes blurting them out. And you know what, folks? As a result, his brothers hated him. They hated him because of his dreams. They hated him, the Bible says, because of his words. Because if God's given you a dream, it's hard not to talk about that dream. And I would tell you this, if God has given you a dream, you ought to talk about that dream. You ought to verbalize that dream. You oughtn't to hide that dream. But you have to understand that that does not mean that everybody's going to be supportive of the dream that the Lord has given you. So what was their reaction? Brothers hated him. His father rebuked him. I can't find anyone in this portion of Scripture that encouraged him or believed in him. Now, listen to your preacher this morning. Let me help you. As you follow the will of God, you'll find that there are three kinds of people. And I'm not just going to identify two. I'm going to identify the largest group, and that's the group we forget about sometimes. But there's three kinds of people. There's those who will believe in you. There are going to be those who don't believe in you. And there are going to be those who give you no thought at all. I call them the encouragers, the discouragers, and the couldn't care lessers. That's just a fact of it. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you this, because some of you need to get your bubble popped a little bit. Most people are neither for you nor against you. All right? Okay. They don't wake up every day and you're the first thought on their mind, no matter how many posts you make on your Facebook page. They either don't know you, or if they do, they just basically ignore you. Now, I'm going to point this out because when you have the group, we're going to talk about this group that's determined to discourage you from your dreams. If you're not careful, it's easy to overreact to that. Have you ever heard someone say this, you know, because of two or three or four people that are opposing them, they'll say, well, the whole world's against me. Okay, no, that's not true. Here's a wake-up call. Most people don't care. By the way, before you judge them harshly, you don't care about most other people either. I think social media has created a generation of narcissists. Few, if any, people care what you had for lunch yesterday, who you met in the mall, or they really don't really care to see one more selfie of you. Stop focusing on your image and start following your God-given dreams. Stop focusing on your image and start following your God-given dreams. Now, that's most people. Now, let me say this. A few people, if God's given you a dream and you're going to pursue that dream, a few people will hate you and oppose you. By the way, I like to call these people dream killers. And they exist. They're real. The minute you open your mouth and you begin to talk about something God's laid on your heart, something you want to do for God, something that you know has come from God, you're always going to have those negative nannies that surround you and begin to put down those dreams. They try to kill dreams. Usually they have little or no aspirations to do something wonderful with their own lives. And it seems like it offends them when someone else dares to dream. Now, folks, listen, you have to expect opposition against the will of God for your life. I want to say again, you have to expect opposition against the will of God for your life. And don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised. By the way, I want to say this. Don't be discouraged by it. This will happen if you step out. If anybody that steps out and tries to accomplish something unusual for the Lord, you know what? There's going to be those that criticize you. Now, sadly, in Joseph's case, the ones doing this were members of his own family. Now, it seems that the ones closest to us, can I say this, often have the power to hurt us the most. And I want to say this to all of you. If someone in your family is trying to step out and accomplish something good, something godly, You want to be their biggest encourager. You want to be the ones rooting for them the most. Come on, older brothers and sisters, root for those younger brothers and sisters. Come on, younger brothers and sisters, root for those older brothers and sisters. Come on, mom and dad. The Bible commands you to bring them up, not put them down. Encourage them. If they're wanting to pursue something that is obviously from the Lord and something good and something godly, then let's cheerlead them as a church. But you know what? Not everybody's going to do that. And a lot of times it's hard to know how to handle that because there are those people that just seem determined to kill the dreams. Now, one of the things I want to encourage you, and this is kind of the introduction of the message, is this. You have to learn what to do with negative criticism. You have to learn what to do with it. My dad used to always tell me, he said, Jerry, even if you don't like what somebody says, even if you don't like a criticism, before you just throw it over your shoulder, he said, you ought to at least stop and look at it. Because even though it might not be fair, sometimes there might be a thread of truth, something that you can learn, something that could make you better. Now, I don't want to say that to help enable those of you that think you have the ministry of discouragement or negativity. But I will say this, that most of the time, I've learned to look at two things, the criticism that came my way, and listen to what I'm going to say next. And then I've learned to look at where it came from, the person it came from. And folks, listen to me. I'm willing to look at anything because you know what? My goodness sakes, I'm far from perfect. But you know what? There's people that have loved me and spend most of their time being an encourager. And those are the people that I'm more open to take criticism. But if the only thing that ever comes out of your mouth is negativity and criticism pretty soon, I don't glance at it very long. I consider the source and throw it over my shoulder and move on. And young people, I just gave you a great, great secret in life. Because there's always going to be people that are going to tell you that you can't when God said you can. There's always going to be people say you shouldn't when God said you should. And so you know what you've got to do? You've got to put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to focus on what God has given you, what dream God's put in your heart, what he's put in your heart. One of my teachers, here's a young lady that came to me years ago. One of my teachers said that I wouldn't amount to anything. She also said this, my mom tells me on a regular basis, you're going to grow up and be nothing. At this point in her life, she was beginning to spiral down into destructive lifestyle. And me and my wife sat in the same room with her, and I looked across at her and said, listen to me, so your answer to your critics is to prove them right? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, you have to learn to turn negative criticism into positive motivation. You know what? I don't like it. I don't want it. I'll consider it. I'll try to learn from it. But I'm not going to be overwhelmed by it, and I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to look at it, learn what I can, and I'm going to throw it away. And you know what? You have to learn sometimes to overcome people in your life that are just, they're dream killers, just determined to constantly try to tell you that you can't do what God has told you to do. But I want to also say something about the third group. Thankfully, there'll be some people in life who will be encouragers who are there to encourage you. Aren't you glad that God sprinkles into our life those that buy into, those that believe in our God-given dreams? People who are there to assist us and encourage us and pray for us. And as you go through life, folks, let me tell you something. When you look back over the trail, like I can look back over the trail, you sure learn to value these people in your life. Before we go on to help you to achieve your dreams, I want to say to everybody in this room, which of the three will you choose to be in the lives of the people around you? Will you just not care about anybody but yourself? You just don't care one way or another? Will you spend your life being a dream killer? I mean, you're the one just looking for someone excited so you can throw the bucket of cold water on them. Looking for someone who started a fire so that you can extinguish it. Don't be that person. Are you going to be a dream killer or are you going to be a dream encourager? And I think one of the things that we can do as we're trying to fulfill our own dreams, our own God-given dreams, is we can along the way encourage others who are also trying. Give them the encouragement that they need. Come on, come on. Throw a little wood on their fire. Don't throw water on the fire. Throw a little wood on the fire. Help them as they pursue God's will for their lives. As I studied Joseph, and I studied just this opening thing. It may not seem like a big thing, and there's going to be bigger things, but this is the root of the problem. We're going to look at him being enslaved by circumstance next week, but that's not where it started. It started right here in this portion of Scripture. As I begin to see how Joseph reacted to this obstacle of criticism, I begin to write down some things that I think the Lord taught me, and I hope that they'll help you this morning. Number one, make sure your dream is from God. Brother Jeff, would you turn the fan on back there, maybe a little air? Make sure that your dream is from God. Now, young people, I need you to really pay attention to what I'm going to say next. Because sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy for us just to decide that, you know what, we have a dream, and anybody that's against that dream is against us, and they're the bad people. But folks, you need to, first of all, ask yourself, did that dream come from the Lord? Can I illustrate this? I can remember when I was assistant pastor here. I can remember when I was down as supervisor in our school, and there was a young lady that came to our school from our bus ministry, not from a Christian home, but she had earned the right to be in the school, wanted to be in the school, and she got to be that junior high age, and all of a sudden I walked over to her desk one day, and she had a Britney Spears notebook. And at that point in time, Britney Spears was only 15 years of age. She was just a little pop princess, okay? Pop music princess. And I didn't know much about her, but I looked at the picture, and it didn't take me long to figure out kind of what and who she was, and I began to talk to this young lady about that and said, you know, within a Christian school, and listen to me, folks, in a Christian school, that wouldn't be appropriate. Right. You know, we don't want those kind of people in your lives. You need to pick better heroes. Boy, this young lady got offended. I mean, she was absolutely in love with Britney Spears. And she even told me, she said, I'm going to grow up and be just like Britney Spears. And I said, oh, okay. And she said she prays before all of her concerts. She prays before all of her concerts. And I said, listen, young lady, you are seeing one 15-year-old young lady who has started out in an industry that is going to destroy her life. And that little seemingly innocent girl that just sings all those little fun songs that other teeny boppers lying. I know, listen folks, and young people better hear me. I know the road she's started on, and I know where it's going to lead. Now this is the advantage of having people in your life that's willing to be honest with you and willing to guide you, because folks, listen, I'm not a dream killer, but I am a nightmare killer. And sometimes you're going to think mom and dad's they're just dream killers. No, they're nightmare killers. Preacher's a nightmare killer, okay? Because there's some things that you're going to say, well, and she told me, she said, well, I won't bring the notebook here anymore. But she looked at me just as serious. I can see this little seventh grade girl. She looked at me just as serious as it can be. Says, but one of these days, you're going to see me on American Idol. And one of these days, I'm going to win American Idol. And one of these days, I'm going to be the next great star. And she turned around, turned her back to me, and started her work. Within a year, she decided to quit the Christian school, and folks, I could take you to see her today. Folks, listen to me. Is your dream from God? Okay? If you can't pass the preacher's approval, come on now. Throw your rocks if you want to, but if it can't pass your pastor's approval, it's not a dream from God. If it can't pass mom and dad, godly parents' approval, then it's not a dream from the Lord. So the first thing you want to do is make sure that the dream is coming from the Lord. I could fast forward, for that would have been 1995 or 6. I could fast forward 10 years, and guess what? Shows up in the school. A Hannah Montana lunchbox. And here's a little girl, and she's in love with Hannah Montana. By the way, come on now. Have you checked out Hannah Montana lately? Now, young people, listen to me. I'm going to say it very plain to you. I'm going to help you with something. Don't try to come sell me on a dream that you have if it's baptized in worldliness and if it's on the path of godlessness. Okay? God did not call you to be on American Idol. God did not call you to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. God did not call you to be a professional video gamer or the next WWE wrestling champion. All right, and sometimes a young person will say, well, I've just got this dream, and everybody at the church is a dream killer. They're a dream killer. No, we're trying to keep you from a nightmare life. So number one, make sure your dream is from God. Number two, remember, people are not your enemy. Now, this is one of the things I want to really get to your heart. You say, preacher, you talk about people that hate you and people that oppose you and the dream killers. Man, I just feel like they're my enemy. They're not your enemy. Listen to me. And what I'm going to teach you next is going to insulate you from bitterness, because even though those people are going to exist in your life, they're not really the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not the dream killers, the devil. Watch this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, one of the things that will help you in life is this. If you're not careful, you're going to get a root of bitterness in your heart because of people that are coming along trying to kill your dreams. But I don't want you to be mad at them. I don't want you to be angry with them. Listen to me. You know what Jesus said that we're supposed to do for them? We're supposed to pray for them. You know why? Because they've opened doors so wide in their heart that they have become tools of the devil. I don't wrestle. I don't fight against flesh and blood. Now, it may be a person that comes and tries to oppose the fulfillment of my dream. But if I'm not careful, I become angry and I become bitter at that person. But folks, what I got to do, what I really ought to do is feel sorry for that person. What I ought to do is pray for that person. What I ought to do is start thinking, why is what I'm trying to do, why is it bothering them that much? What is broken in their life? Brother Hiles used to tell us this from time to time, and he wasn't saying that we weren't sinners, folks. We're all sinners. But he said, folks, listen to me. A lot of times we'll look at the behavior of someone. He said, remember that there's no bad people. There's just broken people. And that's helped me to know that a lot of times the devil's just broken them. He's fed them a lie. There's something in their heart. I mean, why would my success bother them so bad? Why would they want to come out of their way? Listen, what I've got to say to myself is this. You know what? Maybe they carry a burden. Maybe they've got broken dreams. Maybe down deep they want to see if the same thing that stopped them will stop me. Maybe I can give them hope. So you know what? Don't let bitterness come into your heart. Preacher, I look back and I see people that put me down and told me I was going to be nothing. And to this day, I carry an ought against them. Well, you know what? You're choosing somebody who's not the real enemy. You know what I've decided? I've decided if I'm going to get mad, I'm going to get mad at the devil. Because he's the enemy. Come on now. I'm not going to spend my life fighting people. I'm going to fight the real enemy, the devil. And I want you to understand this. If I'm not careful and I begin to become that person in somebody's life, that discourager instead of an encourager, that dream killer instead of a dream encourager, then you know what? Folks, listen to me. It's not even really me doing it. I'm being used of the devil. And that ought to just scare us all. I don't want to walk through life being used of the devil. I want to walk through life being used by God. And you know what? God is the giver of dreams. And you know what? We as God's people ought to be the encourager of those dreams. So number one, make sure that the dream is from God. Number two, remember people are not your enemy. Number three, listen to what I'm going to say. This will help you. Reject the drama and focus on the dream. Reject the drama and focus on the dream. You know what? Joseph almost got sidetracked here. Because you know what? He comes into verse number two and he's got his older brothers and they don't really like him. And they've got a different mom than he has. Come on, all of the rest of them have a different mom than he has, and that caused some issues in the family. I'm going to say this, and it'll help us dads. He was the favored son, and that caused some issues in the family. One of the things that I want to say to every parent is you ought not have a favorite in your amongst your children. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. You know what? Every single one of them is made it in exactly the way that God wanted them to be made. And they're all going to have different strengths, and they're all going to have different talents, and they're all going to have different personalities. And listen to me, love each one for who they are. Don't spend time comparing them among each other. Build a relationship with each one of them. Look at how God made each one of them and encourage the dream of their life that God's given them. But I think he got caught up a little bit here in the drama. You know what? The Bible says that Joseph brought to their father their evil report. And you know what? I understand. It's the littlest kids. Fun to go tell on the older ones. I get it. But I think he fell into a little bit of a trap. Now, you know what? What you need to do, Joseph, is get a dream. What you need to do is forget about the drama. Now, folks, I'm going to help you with something. There's a lot of drama in this day and age. Way too much drama. Okay? Way too much drama. You can waste your life engaged in drama, or you can spend your life pursuing dreams. Eleanor Roosevelt, famed for this quote, I love it. I love it. I use it often. I keep it posted where I can see it. Well, I want to challenge every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to listen to this. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. I want to say it again. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. America is overflowing with a lot of small minds. Can I give you a litmus test on whether or not you should participate in something? Let me just help you with it. I believe if you just decide this morning, I'm going to spend 2021, I'm going to focus my time and my energy on these things, on things that do these three things. I'm going to focus my time and energy on things that better me personally, that help other people, and that bring glory to God. Now I'm telling you, I can change your whole year if you just would buy into what I just said. All right, everything that I'm drawn into to be a part of, and you know what? People that love drama want to drag people in the middle of their drama. Okay, I mean, it's crazy, craziness. But you know what? I think I look at a situation. Am I going to get involved in this, or am I not going to get involved in this? Well, let me ask you something. Being involved in this, is it going to make me a better person? That'll cause you to walk away from a lot of the nonsense. Being involved in this, is it going to make me a better person? Is it going to help people if I get involved in this? And is it going to bring glory to God? And you know what? If it doesn't do those three things, I think I'll go find something that does those three things, and that's what I'll spend my time doing today. Now listen to me, because I want to help you. I refuse to waste my life caught up in drama. I need to say that from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church every once in a while. If y'all want to be drama mamas, then just go be drama mamas. But don't drag me into it. Okay, if that's all you've got in life to do is just focus your small mind on people and Facebook stock and learn everything about everybody and spread rumors and find the bad and talk about the bad, then you know what? I can't stop you from doing it, but I can stop you from dragging me into it. Okay? Because I've got some great dreams. And those dreams come from the Lord. And you know what my dreams do? The ones that come from God, you know what they do? They help me personally. They help others. And they bring glory to God. And that's pretty much what I want to focus on for the rest of my life. Okay? Refuse to get caught up in the drama. You ought to just refuse to spend any time with people who prove that they care nothing for the work of God. Avoid scorners. Avoid troublemakers. Avoid enemies of God's work. I got to thinking this week about Brother Nehemiah. Nehemiah, God gave him a dream. The dream was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And you know what? from the time he arrived in Jerusalem, there were three dream killers waiting for him. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Now let me read what the Bible says from Nehemiah about the first four interactions he has with them. Nehemiah chapter 2, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I mean, it bugged them that somebody had showed up to try to make somebody else's life better. And that's the word that came to him immediately. Later on in the same chapter, then I told them, the men that were there, of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Wow, everybody's getting behind it. They're buying into the dream. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. I mean, God gave him a dream, but here's three people trying to drag him away from it. Trying to discourage him, trying to question it, trying to get him to stop, trying to figure out ways to frustrate and derail the dream. But the dream came from God. We find him again in chapter 4. Came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, that's what they're private messaging back and forth, okay? But Nehemiah heard about it. Verse 7, chapter 4. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. They conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because, folks, are you listening to this? Show me a Bible hero who accomplished something that didn't have to do with dream killers. Now, I want to warn you about something because I talk about getting pulled into the drama. Chapter 6 is the fifth time they're mentioned. And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, the rest of our enemies, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at this time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And they thought to do me mischief. Now, why did he think that they thought to do him mischief? That wasn't in the message. Because the other four times building up to it, they had earned a reputation as dream killers. They weren't for the work of God. They were against the work of God. They didn't want what was best for the people of God. They proved it four different times. Now, young people, listen to me. You know who's out there casting their line, trying to get you involved and trying to get you to come down from off the wall and trying to get you to meet them in the plain of Ono? Dream killers. Dream killers. Listen, I'll pray for you, but I don't have time for you. I don't know what coffee shop you meet at, but I won't be there. See, I'm trying to finish my second section and get the gospel to every door. Okay, I can't meet you. I'd love to spend an hour just on social media chatting about whatever the drama is, but you see, I'm discipling new converts. You see, I'm writing new curriculum to help churches and help Sunday schools across America. See, I'm working on things that are dreams that God's put in my heart. And guess what? They help me personally. And they impact the world for Jesus. And they bring glory to God. And that's what I've got time for. Okay, so if you want to sit around and criticize, I won't be there. If you want to complain about a brother and sister in Christ, I ain't got time for it. If you want to be the church whistleblower, the Facebook stalker that goes around and finds every negative thing you can about people and spread around the church, shame on, let me say it, shame on you. You have a little mind. You have a little mind. You know what I'd say to the church this year, 2021? Let us rise up and build. Let's everybody get a dream. Let's make sure that dream is from God. You know what? Don't worry about people. They're not the enemy anyway. The devil's the enemy. Don't get pulled into it. Don't get caught up in their drama. If they text you, just text them back and say, boy, I'd love to be able to text with you, but you know what? I'm just so busy serving the Lord. Hope to see you in church on Sunday. God bless you. Come on now. Come on. Let me give you the last final point, number four. Talking about those that have dreams. I want you to fulfill your dreams. I look at young people. I look at some of you that are getting older and you're getting ready to graduate. And I want to tell you right now, don't let the circumstances of 2020 kill your dreams. We got an entire world out there that wants to remake America and tell you, you know what, you might plan on doing this, you might plan on doing this, you might plan on this. But you know what we're planning on doing in 2021? Well, go grab the calendar and take a look. I'm not backing up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going into a fetal position. We're not circling the wagons. It's not time to go in reverse. It's time to go forward. It's time to serve God. It's, listen, throw away the fear and live by faith. That's what it's time to do. That's what it's time to do. But my heart hurts for young people. They're getting ready to launch out into life. And man, it's almost like the whole nation's turned into dream killers. Whatever God's called you to do, you can do it. Whatever dream God's put in your heart, you know what? Follow that dream. Which brings me to the last point. Refuse to surrender your dream. If your dream is from God, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, refuse to surrender your dream. Now, we're going to see in the next few weeks that, buddy, I'll tell you what, between the dream and the fulfilling of the dream, there's going to be some major setbacks in Joseph's life. But you know what? He never lost his dream. Yep, your dream might be postponed. Your dream might be delayed. Your dream might at times seem impossible, but listen, never, never stop believing in a God-given dream. Say, preacher, did Joseph's dream come true? Well, we'll read the rest of the story. We'll get you to the finish line. Preacher, did Nehemiah's dream come true? Yep, but it wouldn't have if he'd have spent time down on the plain of Ono. Preacher, will my dream come true? Let me ask you some questions about your dream. Is it from God? Are you listening to the dream killers or the dream encouragers? Have you stopped pursuing your dream and are instead focused on drama? Have you given up on God's dream for you? Well, your preacher sent you to the pulpit to tell you this. We're getting ready to launch into a new year. And a new year brings new opportunities. And you know what? I'd ask every one of you to take a look and reset your priorities. Refocus on what's really important. And I want to say this and we're done. Never. Never, never, never stop dreaming. Never. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the life of Joseph. I'm told by many, many, many that know more Bible than I do, better students of the Bible. I'm told by many that of all the Old Testament characters, Joseph is the one that's the most like the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, that would be our aspiration. Lord, I don't know what 2021 holds, but I know who holds it. And Lord, I know this, you're still putting your will in the hearts of young people. You're still giving them dreams. And Lord, not just in the heart of young people, but Lord, I don't want to stop dreaming. There's still things I want to do. Thank you, Lord, that my heart still burns with a desire to dream the next dream. And then to stay focused on that dream. And to be involved in things that help me to be better, that help other people as they try to traverse this thing called life. And then, most of all, that brings glory to God. Lord, may we fine-tune our lives and our priorities here at the end of another year. Work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name.